So the first reading is Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It's on page 1236. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightnings, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, round the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." It's Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1, on page 1236. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we stand, let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear and enter a little more deeply into the revelation you gave to John. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. If you were beamed into this planet from another part of creation and watched the news, what sort of a picture would you get of life on Earth? Violence, cruelty, hatred, murder, abuse of varying sorts, disagreements, pollution of our air and seas, a ruling body stuck, worship of celebrity, consumerism, body image. I could go on and on, couldn't I? But there is some light relief, occasionally. I sometimes think the media are determined to show us the worst aspects of human nature, but occasionally we get something that we can smile about. Did you see the fisherman in his boat with that great big whale rising up out of the sea behind him in total, well, perhaps oblivion to begin with? That made you smile. Well, it did me anyhow. And those lovely things about God's creation, you know, when you watch the weather pics and you get these lovely pictures, don't you, of different parts of our country, sometimes somewhere local to here. And you think, yeah, it is a beautiful world, isn't it, when you look at them. And also, I think the bravery and the skill and the kindness of those who aid and seek to protect the weak and the vulnerable and the attacked. Didn't you find your heart wanting to weep when you saw some of the wonderful things that people did for those people who've been injured in London, that there were people who were prepared to run into the danger rather than running out, and some sadly who in the end gave their lives in seeking to help. So there is a real mixture, isn't there? But I'm sure Mr. at different times find ourselves wanting to cry out, "Where are you, Lord, in all this?" John, writing Revelation in about 1890, was writing to Christians who themselves were living in a violent world ruled by Rome, whose power spread over most of the then known world. And it was a place of suffering, of terror, death for individuals and communities. And there were some good things about the Romans. But it sounds familiar, doesn't it? He was living on a small rocky island of Patmos, exiled there for his faith. Now we can say exile and carry on reading, but just imagine what being exiled means. You're separated, you're isolated from your home, from your friends, from familiar surroundings, the churches that you've pastored. It's an uncomfortable, must be, and a challenging place to be. John is steeped in the Old Testament in ways that we, most of us, probably are not. And he lives in a different culture to the culture that we live today. We're looking and listening from a 21st century culture to this book. However, can we pick up some of these echoes and resonances? We look at the beginning of the reading. Suddenly, he has an experience. We've just read the letters to the different churches that he's pastored, and then suddenly he moves into chapter 4, a vision that he must share. "And there before me was a door open in heaven. And he heard a voice like a trumpet telling him to come up and be shown what will happen next. Oh, what a thing that is going to be shown, what's going to happen next. It's almost as though he's been transferred into another world, a world that exists alongside the one in which he's living. And he describes to us what he's seen and heard. He's seen a throne with someone sitting on it, with the appearance of jasper and ruby, beautiful stones that don't lose their colour in the Mediterranean sun. Does that speak to us of someone who stays the same, who never fades, who draws others to him? He talks about the rainbow, beautiful rainbows, aren't they? They're lovely to see, full of colour. And instantly takes us back to God's covenant with Noah. Never again will he destroy the earth. Surrounding the throne are 24 other ones, with elders dressed in white. And from the throne comes flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. What would they have taken you back to? Back to Moses and his encounter with God on Mount Sinai. Can you be there in this experience that John's having? Can you see that in your imagination? See the seven lamps blazing and what looks like a sea of glass? And these four living creatures with six wings that are covered with eyes. And John even notices there are eyes under their wings. What does that take you back to? Isaiah, doesn't it? Isaiah's vision in the temple in chapter 6. And Ezekiel's, if you read chapter 1, there's very strange things that happen in chapter 1. But these were things that were so familiar to John, so much of which can seem very strange to us. And look what they're continually saying in verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Do those words sound familiar to you? They're in the communion service, aren't they? Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. So whenever glory, honour and thanks is given, look what the elders do. They lay down their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. In your imagination, can you hold this scene? Do you actually find these words deeply moving? You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. Do you ache to be able to express your love and your adoration, lifted out of this world with so much distress, where you're being shown a new dimension? In chapter 5, verse 1, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. In other words, we'd use the word a book. It has writing on both sides, and it's sealed. Documents, parcels for generations were sealed. Some of us who are old enough might remember sealing wax, yeah? And even today, important documents of state have those great big seals on the bottom of them, don't they? Signet rings. People had signet rings because they were used to impress the initials of the sender into the molten wax. and opening a sealed document was not something to be done lightly. There are seven seals, not one, that have to be opened. And what is in these documents? The unfolding of history, the destiny of the world, held in Jesus' hands. The angel looks for someone worthy. Who is worthy to break these seals and open the scroll? And John sees there's no one can open them or look inside the scroll. There's no angel in heaven, no saintly man on earth, no prophet in the realm of the departed. The secrets, the destiny of the world belongs to God. But it's all shut up in these seals. And look what John does. He says, I wept and wept. And one of the translations said it isn't just wept, it's wailing. He wailed and wailed because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Will the world go on like this forever? Is this what John is wailing about as well? Don't we find ourselves perhaps wanting to cry out and say, is this going to go on forever? Look what happens in verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. He's saying the seals will be opened. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and the seven seals. But as is often the way in dreams, something strange happens. The lion, symbol of strength and power in this world, is no longer there. Instead, verse 6, a lamb, looking as if it's been slain. Where is the strength and the power in a slain lamb? Not in the naked power of the world, but in the sheer goodness of God. As Christ crucified, he is worthy. John's first hearers would have gone back to the lamb. You remember? A lamb without blemish. We see that as without sin. A lamb that was slain at the Passover, whose blood saved them. It's an event that the Jews remembered every year and still do at Passover. Do you remember John the Baptist standing by the Jordan in chapter 1 of John's Gospel saying, behold, the Lamb of God. When he saw Jesus, that was his expression. Behold, this is the Lamb of God. And that has all those connotations. And remember, two of his disciples, do you remember how they followed after Jesus and wanted to know where he was living? And they wanted to learn more, and Jesus simply said to them, come with me and see. And that's what they did. So in the Old Testament, sheep, shepherds, Jesus, who described himself in the Gospels as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. There's so many resonances there that are so rich and deep. It's the crucified Christ who is worthy, taking upon himself the weight of man's sin. And that's a tremendous weight. The Lamb stands before the throne, encircled by these living creatures and the elders, and he takes the scroll from the right hand of God. Can you in your mind's eye be there and see this hand reaching out to take that scroll? And in verse 8, the living creatures, the elders, what do? They fall down before the Lamb. They fall down in worship and adoration, and they sing a new song. Verse 9. Now again, we may not realize, and I didn't until I was working through this, that a new song is significant. In Old Testament times, new songs were always sung to God. You can see that in Psalm 96, verse 1. So singing to the Lamb signifies his divine nature. And what they're singing here is actually the summary of the gospel. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. There's a summary of the gospel. And it's our call to worship, isn't it? And also in verse 10, to go out to others, to share the gospel in whatever way we find that we can do it. Verse 11, shepherds at the Nativity. Do you remember those shepherds sitting out on those cold hills? And when they heard a host of angels singing, must have been the most fantastic moment for them, wasn't it? Singing glory to God in the highest. And here we've got John hears. He looks and he hears the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. And they encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And what are they saying? Can you enter into this? Can you be, I won't say exactly a fly on the wall, but can you get into this? Hear what they're saying. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever. Can we too feel that we would want to respond as they did? Amen. So be it. That's what they're saying. And they fell down and worshipped. And now, if you're imagining yourself in this scene, maybe you would like to either bow, or if you're able to kneel, and simply worship, because the choir are going to sing for us some of Handel's music. I mean, I'm very, very appreciative because I've dropped this on you. I'm sorry, Sue. But we're not into performances, because this is taking us into that worship and adoration of Jesus. So as we kneel or bow, this is our moment of worshipping and adoring the Lamb.